The answer to that question wasn't made available until 1859. And that was the year that Charles Darwin published on the Origin of Species. And the significance of this study was that Charles Darwin, using the same physical relevance that Newton applied to nature, said you could understand a theory of evolution without invoking God in this process, that it all comes about as a result of variations in heredity that are passed from one generation to the next generation. And consequently, since most people at that time were breeding plants and animals as a hobby or a lifestyle, many of them saw the truth in Darwin's belief that evolution was ultimately the result of variations introduced through breeding. And consequently, it was a very easy step for them to accept, yes, over millions of years, evolution and variation of breeding could provide for all the different animals and plants that are in the biosphere. So at that point, evolution came to be a scientific reality and challenged the foundation of the monotheistic paradigm, because now science had answers to the three questions that were generally accepted by most of the population. So in regard to science's perception for the perennial questions, here's what they responded to. In regard to how did we get here, science used Darwin's theory of random acts of heredity. In regard to why we are here, well, according to Darwin, it was all just random, a genetic accident, so consequently, there was no reason or purpose to evolution. But the third question, answered by science, threw a monkey wrench in our civilization for this reason. Because when asked, now that we are here, how do we make the best of it? What science offered was something called live by the law of the jungle. Rather than living by the scriptures that monotheists had said, science accepted that life was a struggle for survival. The belief that life was a struggle was predicated on a philosophy precipitated by Thomas Malthus that said, animals will always outproduce the ability of vegetation to support them. In other words, animals will reproduce faster than the food needed to support them. This would inevitably lead to a struggle where the animals will be competing for food. And in this particular struggle, as Darwin suggested, the winner of the struggle would be those that are the most fit. And consequently, we were left with a belief called the survival of the fittest in the struggle for existence. Well, the answers to the perennial questions by science obviously was accepted by most of the population. And in this particular time period, then there was a transition where we left behind the belief as the spiritual realm being predominant and started to accept the fact that the material realm was really the realm that controlled life. The fullest expression of what we call scientific materialism emphasizing the physical realm came in 1953. For this is the year that Watson and Crick provided the world with the awareness of the nature of DNA and the double helix. And at this point, it was now fully accepted by the world that our lives were controlled by matter, the DNA in the cells. And obviously after this point, then science was a predominant belief system over the spiritual beliefs of monotheism. However, we didn't just jump from a spiritual world directly into a material world. There was a changing of belief with a gradual increase in emphasis on the material realm as monotheism was still the predominant belief system. Ultimately, after the Reformation period, Protestantism offered a new vision. It suggested that rather than just being damned, the material world might actually reflect that something is in God's favor, meaning that if some people actually started to express wealth, they might be reflecting that God was shining on them, and therefore they were closer to God. So all of a sudden, rather than just being damned, there was a new vision that material was not necessarily a negative thing. So materialism started to slowly creep in to our monotheistic belief. And yet science was producing, again, all these wonderful miracles, yet before Charles Darwin, it still wasn't able to overtake the basal paradigm. However, there was a point where the value in the spiritual realm and the value in the material realm all of a sudden became equal. And why this is important, because at this very brief window in the transition from monotheism to materialism, we actually were replaying a philosophy that started off our civilization. That philosophy was the philosophy of the animists that believed that spiritual realm and material realm were of equal value and together actually created a unified whole. So there was a very interesting opportunity for civilization to re-experience this animist realm with an update from science. This period, the revision of the animistic philosophy, was precipitated by something called the Age of Enlightenment. And the Age of Enlightenment is actually an extension of a philosophy by two fundamental philosophers, John Locke of England and Jean-Jacques Rousseau, the philosopher from France. Both of these philosophers talked about a utopian world. And what's very interesting about this is that the philosophy of Rousseau, which was principal in shaping the Age of Enlightenment, used an idea of a utopian world by basing it on the American Indians, the animists themselves. And Rousseau talked about these Indians and actually gave them the status of the noble savages. And he talked about how in an animistic world, the balance between spirit and matter led to a successful and prosperous culture of Native Americans that were living in peace and harmony for hundreds of years in the New World. Well, this vision of the noble savage seeded many people's minds. Because in this world, the belief of a utopian society was possible actually energized people to seek that philosophy. And those people who bought into this enlightened belief that matter and spirit were one and the same acquired the title of deists. And deists represented a philosophy of God and nature united. And it's very interesting because, well, who are perhaps are the fundamental deists that may have shaped civilization? And why this becomes important is because in that small window where deism was the new philosophy of civilization, it was related to the founding of the United States and the founding fathers.